This program is brought to you by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, we are sons and daughters of God, and if we neglect speaking the Word of God, then we'll never see what the Word of God can make in our life. Speak the Word of God and watch it make healing. Speak the Word of God and watch it make deliverance. Speak the Word of God and watch it make success in your life.
The 2020 Ministers and Leaders Conference is here. Join Creflo and Taffy Dollar online.
A lot of the weight of carrying ministry or what people think or where things are coming from for the ministry for the home is released. That burden is lifted.
Make plans now to be with us online October 6th through the 8th. Do not miss this revelation on making adjustments for the new age. Register now and secure your spot today.
I thought that tonight that we would do a teaching on the power of confession, or the ability. The word power is the ability to get results. And I believe that when you confess the Word of God, it's like pulling a trigger and releasing a bullet. It's how you release your faith, and supernatural things will begin to take place. And when you begin to understand the power that backs confession, I believe that that much faith is available when you begin to say that. So I'm going to look at some scriptures. I'm going to share some things with you. I believe that there are reasons, primary reasons, why confession of God's Word works for you. And we're going to talk about those primary reasons tonight. But I'd like to start in the book of Romans chapter 4 and verse 13. You know, pray that we get a lot done. So this is going to be a really intense teaching session on the power of confession. Let's go ahead and read verse 13 out loud together. He says, "For the promise that he should be the heir of the world," he's referring to Abraham and the promise that God made that he would be the heir of the world. He says, "It was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but this promise came through the righteousness which we receive by faith." Now look at the same verse in the NLT, because this is so important. You are the righteousness of God. That is your identity. You know who you are, and then we'll begin to show you some things that God's instructed you to do. Verse 13 says, "Clearly, God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was not based It was based not on his obedience to God's law, but on the right relationship with God, and that right relationship comes by faith." So he is saying that this right relationship with God, this righteousness that you get, that comes by faith. It is not by obeying the law, but it is by having faith in what Jesus has already done and having faith in what Jesus has made available. Jesus has made me the righteousness of God, and by my faith, I accept that. I receive. By faith, I declare I am the righteousness of God. And so we're made right with God through our faith in Jesus Christ and not by the works that we have done. Now, what does that have to do with confession? Well, go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And verse 6 through 8, we'll look at that in those two translations, King James and the NLT. Romans chapter 10 and verse 6 through 8. Now, to me, this is extremely powerful that we begin to understand how this works. Romans 10, verse 6 says, "But the righteousness which is of faith." So now that's what he was just talking about, the righteousness which is of faith. The promise that came not by the law, but by the faith in Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is of faith does what? Speaketh. the righteousness, which is of faith, does what? Speaketh. Now, that's powerful to me. It speaketh on this wise. I mean, I can stop right there. The righteousness, which is of faith, speaketh. And he says, he speaks on this wise. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above, verse 7. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ from the dead, verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth, it's in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, a couple of things here with these two scriptures. Number one, your inheritance comes to you through the righteousness which is of faith. We have established that. But secondly, we voice God's word out of our mouth. That's what the righteousness which is of faith do. We give voice to God's word out of our mouth. Boy, that's powerful. The fact that we have God's word, and in order for it to activate, and I'm just kind of trying to simplify this, in order for it to activate, we give voice to the word of God. The righteousness that we've been made righteous by faith, here's what we do. We give voice to the word of God. I'm the righteousness of God, and his word is nigh thee, even on my mouth. I give voice to the word of God. Now go to Psalms 107 and verse 20. So here's what we've established. You've been made righteous by faith. The word of God is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. We give, as the righteousness of God, we give voice to God's word. Now, Psalms 107, verse 20. All right. Now, here's what he says in verse 20. He says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Now, notice what the word sent accomplishes: healing and deliverance from destruction. The word sent. In other words, when you speak the word as the righteousness of God, you send the word, and that word accomplishes deliverance from destruction, and it accomplishes healing. Now, think about it. As a Christian, how often do you understand this enough to send the word? How often do you understand this enough to put the word in your mouth, load it up like you would bullets in a gun, pull the trigger, and send the word? Because when you send this word, it will heal and it will deliver from all destructions. Well, why? Look at St. John chapter 1. St. John chapter 1, and then beginning at verse 1. And one of the things you begin to understand here is that he says, yeah, gives us a reason. What's backing it? What's the power behind this? He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Watch this. And the Word was God. So the Word and God are the same. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. So we're not just talking about, you know, just a book. We're talking about the Word of God. God and His Word are the same. You will not be able to separate God from His Word. Now look at verse 3. 1 John 3, he says, all things were made by God, or Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now remember, God and His Word are the same. Well, how did God make everything? He spoke words. How did God make everything? He spoke words. Let me show you something here. Go to Genesis chapter 1, and let's just see God doing this, because if you can get a revelation of how powerful His Word is, you'll begin to do it as well. Follow me here. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, and God said. Go on down into verses, and verse 9, and God said. Verse 11, and God said. You'll see Him doing this the whole time. Go down to verse 20, and God said. And then in verse 21, He says, and God created. Well, notice how God created. He said. Come on, let's keep doing this. Verse 24, and God said. Verse 26, and God said. Verse 29, and God said. And then in verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made. Well, how did he make it? He said it. And God said, and God said, and God said, and it concluded, and God made. Well, how did God make it? When he said it. I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, we are sons and daughters of God, and if we neglect speaking the word of God, then we'll never see what the word of God can make in our life. Speak the word of God and watch it make healing. Speak the word of God and watch it make deliverance. Speak the word of God and watch it make success in your life. And God said, and God said, and God said, and we need to get in the same position where we're speaking that same thing. Now look at John. Go back to John chapter 1 and look at verse 14. John chapter 1 and verse 14. So in the beginning was the Word. Word was with God. All things were made by him or the Word. And then verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh, and it dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Or another way to say that, we beheld his manifestation of Jesus, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, and he was full of grace and full of truth. So now here's the thing I want to establish here, that most Christians who are defeated in life are defeated because they believe and confess the wrong things. Most Christians who are defeated in life are defeated because they believe and they confess the wrong things. And they start off by not believing that confessing the Word of God can make a difference in their life. And so they're defeated because they're busy saying all the wrong things because they don't believe that there's authority in giving voice to the Word of God. And so they just keep saying stuff that's, you know, causing the problem. They have spoken the words of the enemy, and those words hold them in bondage. And they don't have any idea what's going on. They keep speaking the words, and they have no idea what's going on. I mean, normally when I teach this, somebody normally would say, well, are we back to having to watch what we say? I'm telling you, this is something that as Christian people, if we'll understand the power that's invested in words, you have to understand that when you speak words of the enemy, those words are going to hold you in bondage. So what negative, crazy thing that you find yourself saying all the time? What negative, crazy thing that you are allowing to give voice to? Those are the very things or seeds that are responsible for keeping you in bondage. Look at Proverbs chapter 6 and verses 1 and 2. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 1 and 2. Now notice he says here, he says, my son, Proverbs 6 verses 1 and 2, my son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, he tells you why. Thou art trapped or snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Look at this in the NLT. I mean, he's telling you what the problem is. He says, it's the words of your mouth. And again, like I said, a lot of Christians just ignore this, and they say, oh, that's just basic stuff. No, man, this is for real. In NLT, he says, my child, if you have put up security for a friend's debt or agreed to guarantee the debt of a stranger, verse 2, he says, if you have trapped yourself by your agreement and are caught by what you said. Words, ladies and gentlemen, words are so very, very important. Write this down. Faith-filled words will put you over, but fear-filled words will defeat you. Once again, faith-filled words will put you over, but fear-filled words will defeat you. So words are the most powerful things in the universe. And we have a lot of people in church that don't even know that. I mean, the society, they have no clue about that. Nobody even stops to think about that. It's the most powerful thing in the universe. What? Words. In fact, words are responsible for the universe being here. Words are responsible for everything. I just showed you where God said, God said, God said, and then God saw. How did He create and make everything? He said it. He spoke words. And you and I have that same God-given authority to speak and give voice to His words and to see what those words will make. Look at Matthew chapter 17, very familiar scripture here. Matthew 17 and verse 20. And in verse 20, He said, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Now, I want to read this first part of the scripture that got my attention. He said, because of your unbelief, and this whole thing was talking about, you remember where Jesus cast out this demon out of this boy and cured him, and the disciples wanted to know how He did it. And Jesus said, well, the reason why you couldn't cast him out was because of your unbelief. But then He said something. He says, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say. And I heard the Spirit of God say to me, if you have faith, you should say. If you have faith, you should say. The very thing you say you believe, the very thing you say you have confidence in, He says, if you have faith, you should say. And I thought to myself, like, wow, He just told me how to release it. He just told me how to release the faith that I have. If you have faith, you should say. So somebody says, well, I have faith that I'm healed. Well, you should say. Well, I have faith in all the finished works of Jesus Christ. Well, if you have faith, you should say. Well, I have faith that I'm successful and that I'm protected and that I have long life. Well, you should say. You see, when you do that, you loose your faith so it can go and begin to work for you. You put your faith in the field, and you don't let it come off the field until it has accomplished and made what you sent it forth to accomplish. If you have faith, you should say. Boy, that's powerful. And then look at Mark 11:23. He says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Basically, he says, if you have faith in your heart and you believe it, open your mouth up and you shall have it. In other words, he's talking to us about how we can get involved in creative power. This is authority that God has given us. That if we have something in our heart and we believe it and we don't doubt it, and then we open our mouth up and say it, he says, you're going to have what you say. You're going to have what you say. Somebody say, oh, but Brother Dollar, I remember hearing that when I was five, when I went to church with my grandmama. Hey, yeah, and it was working with your grandmama. Well, I don't believe that now. And look at you. And look at things that have not been able to come to pass. You've been sitting for 30 years waiting on something to happen. And somebody says, well, Brother Dollar, wait a minute. You know, that sounds like works of the flesh. No, that ain't works of the flesh. That's me cooperating with the authority that I've been given by grace. I have authority by the grace of God. That authority tells me that if you'll exercise that authority and you will speak, first of all, if you'll believe it and then you speak it, then you're going to have it. That's my authority. I have authority as a believer to believe it, to speak it, and have it. And I've been given that authority by the grace of God. That authority is a finished work. But a lot of Christians don't recognize and don't understand how important it is to exercise that authority. Believe it in your heart, say it with your mouth, you'll have it, you'll see it, you'll possess it because you understand that. So God never does anything without saying it first. I showed you that in Genesis. He never does anything without saying it first. God is a faith God. God released his faith in words. God, look at Mark 11, 22. Let's look at that scripture. God is a faith God. God is a faith God. He releases his faith in words. And look what he says in Mark 11, 22. He says, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God." Or another translation says, have the God kind of faith. God is a faith God. Have the God kind of faith. Now, God is a faith God, and that's my Heavenly Father. And I want to be a faith kid, if you will. He's a faith God. We're the children of God. I want to be a faith child. I want to imitate him. And I want to imitate him in that he had something in his heart, he released it with words, and he saw what he made. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. You see, to imitate God, you must talk like him and act like him. That's so very important. He says, "Be ye therefore followers of God," or imitators of God, "as dear children." So if we're going to be followers of God and imitators of God, then we talk like him, we act like him. Now, he would not ask you to do something you're not capable of doing. Imitate me, follow me. He wouldn't ask you to do that if you were not capable of doing it. So if he is speaking and out of his heart what he believes, having no doubt in his heart, he's expecting for his children to imitate him, just like Jesus imitated him. Jesus operated in the faith principles of Mark chapter 11, 23. He operated in the faith principle of Matthew 17, 20, those two scriptures we just read. Jesus operated that while he was on the earth. And he's our example to follow. He spoke the word. You remember? He spoke to the wind. He spoke to the sea. He spoke to demons. He spoke to the fig tree. He even spoke to a dead man. Wow. The wind, the sea, the tree, the demons, and even the dead were obedient to what he said. Now, that's authority that Jesus operated on this earth as a man walking on this planet, and the scripture is saying in Ephesians, imitate him. And Jesus began to demonstrate how to walk in that authority, and he spoke to all those things, and all those things lined up, and they obeyed what he said. He operated in the God kind of faith, believing in your heart, saying it with your mouth, seeing it and experiencing it in your life. I tell you, it's a good time to learn how to operate in this authority. It's a good time to learn how to use the Word of God and load your mouth with the Word of God and watch it bring some things to pass in your life. Now, Jesus was imitating his Father and getting the same results that his Father got. Man, that's what I believe should happen to every born-again Christian. We should be imitating our Father and getting the same results that Jesus got. But that's why I'm teaching this tonight. I think you have to come to a place of gathering some understanding so that you'll know how to operate in this authority. Let me give you 3 points right here I think will help you. First of all, these principles of faith, they are based on, watch this, spiritual laws that you can execute. That's a part of your authority. You have the authority to execute spiritual laws. When there's a law on the book and you see a policeman in the street hold his hands up, then he has authority by that uniform to hold his hands up and they obey him. Well, we are believers. Praise God. We have the authority of Jesus Christ, and we have the right to execute spirit law while we're on this physical planet. So that's number one. Number two, they work for whosoever will apply these laws. If you don't apply these spiritual laws, you have what you say, speak unto a mountain, death and life are in the power of the tongue. If you don't exercise these spiritual laws, I mean, come on, guy. Come on, dude. Come on. What are you expecting? You're not exercising spiritual laws, then you're not going to see results. And then here's the third point. You get them in motion by the words of your mouth. You get all of these spiritual principles that you have invested in your authority. You get these things working when you load them in your mouth. When you begin to speak these words, you set in motion those spiritual laws. You see, he sent his word and it healed them. That when the voice was given to his word, he set in motion healing. When the voice was given to the word of your success, you set in motion success. When the voice was given to the principle of deliverance, you set in motion that deliverance, and you begin to see things happen. Spoken words by Christian people are very, very powerful. These are things that, you know, we should be hearing taught a whole lot in churches, and it's just not happening anymore. We got to be careful not to go to a political gospel, and we've got to teach Christian people how to operate and use their authority while they're on this earth. So spoken words program your spirit either to success or defeat. Spoken words. So what are you speaking? Whatever you're speaking, you're programming your spirit. If you're speaking all the wrong words, then you're programming your spirit to that wrong. But if you're speaking all of God's words, you're programming your spirit to success, you're programming your spirit to the spiritual things. Words, listen, are containers. Words are containers. They are spiritual containers. They carry faith or they carry fear. And they produce after their kind. Look at Romans 10, 17. Words are spiritual containers. So everything I'm teaching you about the Word of God right now, if you take words and load fear in them, and you load disaster in them, then those words, which are spiritual containers, first of all, it programs your spirit to defeat, and it carries that fear, and it produces after its kind. So everything I just said to you about the Word of God, take the opposite of it, and it produces some of the stuff you're going through right now. Where is all of the oppression coming from? Where is all of the depression coming from? Where is all of the, you know, failure mentality coming from? The suicidal ideations. If I guarantee you, you back up and you take a look at what you've been saying. If you back up and check out what's been coming out of your mouth, then you will locate the seeds that's responsible for where you are right now. Romans chapter 10, 17 says, so then faith cometh how? By hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. So what happens is right now you're hearing the Word of God. Faith is coming because I am preaching the Word of God. You are hearing the Word of God. You know, when I preach on what grace is made available to you and what Jesus has already done, faith comes, and then you can use your faith to take possession of that faith that has come. I now heard it. I hear it. You know, the Bible says that they did not prosper or have profit because the word that was preached was not mixed with faith. That's in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and 1. It didn't profit them. In fact, let's go there. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. You know, you can hear the word, but if it's going to have profit in your life, you've got to hear the word and believe it. It's got to be mixed with faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So it's not enough just to have the Word preached to you. That Word preached has got to be mixed with faith. So let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into His rest, that any of you should seem to come short of it. Verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached, so the gospel's preached, as well as unto them it was preached. He says, but the word preached did not profit them. That's what's happening in a lot of churches. The word's being preached, but it's not profiting people. They're not getting any results. Why? Because it's not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. It's not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So when I hear the word and I hear the truth, I mix it with faith. I begin to preach it. I begin to release it. I begin to speak the word, really to speak the word to myself, and then faith comes more quickly. Even when I say it out loud, speaking the word is a type of meditation. And when you meditate that word and ponder that word, you're depositing faith in your heart. And then one of those confessions is going to release power because you're releasing the faith that you finally have in your heart. So God's word is creative power. God's word is creative power. And that creative power is produced by the heart, it's formed by the tongue, and it's released out of the mouth in word form. So God's creative power is given to man in a word form. God, he took his creative power, dropped it in the container of his words, and he gave it to man. So we have the book of God's creative power. Yeah. We have the book of God's creative power, but it must be spoken by the body, the mouth. It's got to be spoken out of my mouth in order to be effective. God's word is not void of power. Listen, God's word is not void of power. God's people are void of speech. God's word is not void of power. God's people are void of speech. In other words, there's nothing wrong with the seed. The problem is that God's people aren't speaking it. God's word is not void of power. God's people are void of speech. You see, they hear the world and they speak as the world speaks. They even speak that which the enemy says. And they destroy their own inheritance by corrupt communication of fear and unbelief. Listen to me carefully. No word of God is void of power, only powerless when it is unspoken. No word of God is void of power, only powerless when it goes unspoken. That's so, so strong. So again, like Taffy was saying a couple weeks ago, if God's made it available, man, you need to go ahead and pick it up and use it. You know, confess victory in the face of your apparent defeat. Confess abundance in the face of your apparent lack. So you're facing lack, so what are you gonna say? I tell you what most people do. They face lack and they say something that keeps the lack there. Oh, dear God, I'm just as broke as the Ten Commandments that Moses dropped at the bottom of Mount Sinai. Well, now you did what you needed to do to maintain that lack. And so he says, in the face of that, then you speak abundance. Now, I remember Charles Capp saying this years ago. Charles Capp said, the Lord spoke to him and he says, I have told my people they can have what they say, and they are saying what they have. He says, I told my people they can have what they say, but they keep saying what they have. See, you know, if you're sick, don't keep saying I'm sick. Say, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. You can have what you say, but you got to stop saying what you have. Now, are you saying what you have? Are you the person that's continuing to say what you have, and then you look into your life and you realize, oh, my God, I actually have it. You keep saying I'm broke. You keep saying I'm broke, busted, disgusted. My people can have what they say, but they keep saying what they have. So that's got to change. That's got to change. Now, I want to spend the last part of this teaching talking about seven primary reasons why confession of God's word will work for you. It will work for you if you will work it. So here's the first reason that God's confessions will work for you. Confession of God's word works, number one, because it is the way you sow seeds into the kingdom of God. The way you sow seeds, you know, on Sundays I've been talking about Mark chapter 5 and how the kingdom of God operates just like the farming system. He said the word of God is the seed, and he says the sower soweth the word. Well, now you see why. The word works because it is the way, confession of the word is the way that you sow into the kingdom of God. You sow words into the kingdom of God by saying. You know, Mark chapter 4, 26 and 27, if you look over there, Mark chapter 4, 26 and 27, it says, and he said, so is the kingdom of God. as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow up, he knoweth not how. So here he's talking to us about this. I mean, if you're going to sow seed into the kingdom of God, it involves the confessing of the word. Sowing by the kingdom method of speaking the word will bring success in any area of your life. When you confess or when you speak God's word, you are sowing seeds. You're sowing the word seed. So Mark 4:26 says, the kingdom of God is as if a man should cast seed into the ground. And listen, how you doing it? You're speaking it. So God doesn't sow the seed. Please understand that. God doesn't sow the seed. Man does it. And some people think, well, God's going to sow the seed. No, man sows the seed. God furnishes the seed, but you must sow them. So how do you sow it? You open your mouth up. You speak. I mean, that blesses me to begin to understand that we are getting this practical. If the kingdom of God works according to Mark chapter 5, you know what it involves? It involves me opening my mouth up, and I sow the seed. Please remember, God's not going to sow the seed for you. God's not going to sow healing seed, deliverance seed, success seed. You have to do that. If you don't sow it, then you don't have anything in the ground. It's no different than a farmer who's trying to plant corn, but he sits at home all day watching, you know, Netflix, and he doesn't go outside and sow the seed. Ain't nowhere in the world he should show up during harvest time expecting to harvest seed. Why? Because he never sowed it. Is that the sum total of maybe what some of your lives are like? That you're sitting, waiting, where's God? Where's my manifestation? And you're not been aware that I'm the sower that's supposed to be sowing the seed. So that's so very important. Number two, here's the second reason I believe confessing God's word works. Confessing of God's word works. It works because it causes faith to come. It causes faith to come. You speaking the word is setting the goal by sowing seeds in the kingdom of God within you. The Bible says the kingdom of God is within a man. And so it is also your words that cause faith to come, according to Romans 10:17. So it can be in any area that you sow. You can, you know, physical healing, finances, spiritual matters. Speak what God said about you to yourself aloud. And then you declare it, and then you say it, and you confess it, and then faith comes. I mean, you're going to believe you before you believe what somebody else says. And like I said, meditating the word day and night, getting that word in your heart, getting it in the ground involves pondering. And one definition of meditation is to say it aloud. And when you speak that word aloud, you hear yourself saying it. And you know, the Bible says, guard your ears, your eyes, your mouth. Well, when you hear yourself saying it and you are saying it with your mouth, it's getting into the heart, the ground where it can grow. Here's number three. Confessing God's word works because it renews the mind to the word of God. It renews the mind to the word of God. Do you realize that your mind didn't get born again when you were born again? Your mind didn't get saved when you got saved. Your spirit got saved, but your mind didn't get saved. The Apostle Paul said this, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Here's what Paul said, Romans 12 and 2. He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Another translation says, be changed by the renewing of your mind. So Paul here is writing to believers. He's writing to the believers that were in the Roman church. And he instructed them to do something about their mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So, confession of God's word, speaking in agreement with what God said, will cause your mind to be renewed so you can think like God thinks. This, in turn, will cause you to talk like God talks, and then eventually, talking like God talks will cause you to walk like God walks without fear, without anxiety, in victory instead of defeat, and your mind is being renewed when you do that. This is so, so very important. Number four, confessing God's word works for you because it keeps the answer before you. That all of the things that are going on, the answer is kept right in front of you. So if you're always facing the problem, if you're always speaking the problem, if you're always praying the problem, then you'll have faith in the problem. But if you're always talking your problem to other people, and then you really do have a problem, if you go to the Lord and say, Lord, I have this problem, and I can't get rid of this problem, it gets bigger and bigger every day, Lord, then you will eventually have a big problem. But when you begin to renew your mind and begin to keep the answer before you by confessing the word of God, you know, some people will say, well, oh, you're just ignoring the problem. On the contrary, you are doing something about the problem. When you get accused of ignoring the problem, you know, just, there's scriptures for that. In fact, just quote Philippians chapter 4, 6, and 8. And there'll be people saying, you're just ignoring the problem. Philippians 4, verse 6 through 8. Tell people this when they accuse you. You're just ignoring the problem. You're just trying to act like the problem's not there. I don't want to keep rehearsing the problem. I want to put something in front of me that's going to get me out of the problem. And what's going to get me out of the problem is speaking the word. Here's how you answer that. Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 8. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, look what he says, think on these things. Not on the problem, think on these things. Keep the problem in front of you. And when you confess the word, it's keeping the answer in front of you. Don't keep the problem in front of you. Excuse me. Keep the answer in front of you. Don't keep the problem in front of you. Keep the answer in front of you. And when you confess God's words, you keep the answer in front of you. I think I got that right. Amen. Number five, here's the fifth reason we confess the word of God, because it changes your heart. Look at Proverbs chapter 4, 20 and 23. We confess the word of God because God's word will change your heart. Somebody says, yeah, but I just don't understand. I said it one time. Man, you ain't gonna get nothing doing it one time. That's just like saying you ate a diet meal one time. I don't know why I'm still 400 pounds. I ate a diet meal. It ain't what you do one time that's gonna be responsible for the change. It's what you're willing to do continuously. It's consistency that's the key to the breakthrough. When you consistently keep the word of God in your mouth and begin to speak the word of God, it'll change your heart when you do that. Because remember, when you're speaking the word, you're dropping things into your heart.
It is important that we establish a lifestyle of praise and confessions. The devil wants us to focus on our problems. However, when we give God the praise, we defeat the enemy's tactics and win. Amplify your faith with the power of praise and confessions. If you want to take your life to the next level, don't miss your chance to get your hands on the power of praise and confessions, Creflo Dollar's new three-message series for just $20.
I believe if you'll start praising God today, it'll cause you to focus more on God's word. It'll cause you to focus more on what God has to say about some things rather than you focusing on your problems. So you've got to decide what you're going to focus on. Praise is going to help direct your focus on God's promises.
Add the Daily Faith Confession CD and walk out this life of praise. You can get the whole combo today for only $25.
The 2020 Ministers and Leaders Conference is here. Join Creflo and Taffy Dollar online with Making Adjustments for the New Age.
Grace is a person. His name is Jesus. And that is the foundation that you build on. It's the foundation for your teaching on parenting. It's the foundation for your teaching on finances. It's the foundation for your teaching on spiritual gifts. It's the foundation. You can't leave this foundation and then just go teach a series.
A lot of the weight, OK? caring ministry or what people think or where things are coming from for the ministry, for the home, is released. That burden is lifted.
See, we keep trying to go to church growth conferences when we need to find a church health conference, because a healthy church will grow by itself.
Make plans now to be with us online October 6th through the 8th. Do not miss this revelation on making adjustments for the new age. Register now and secure your spot today.
Creflo Dollar Global Missions has fed, clothed, housed, and shared the gospel of grace with people on practically every continent. I want to take a moment to encourage you to visit our website and catch up on all the missions work we're doing around the world. You may never visit these places or witness the poverty and levels of human suffering firsthand, but your support, prayers, and selfless giving equipped us to go and to change lives for the better. Thank you for caring enough to proactively take steps to stop misfortune in the lives of others. And thank you.
If you want to support our global missions outreach endeavors, consider becoming a partner today by calling in or by visiting us online and signing up. Thank you for partnering with us today.
There is a purpose for your life. Introducing Grace Life Academy, an innovative approach to learning God's Word. Grace Life Academy offers unlimited access with hundreds of hours of online teachings. You'll have access to comprehensive video Bible lessons that include features such as e-courses, study guides, an online community, quizzes, and more. Text GLA to 51555 or go online to mygracelifeacademy.com.
Your generosity allows us to make a difference in the lives of people all over the world. Through Creflo Dollar Global Missions, we are providing food, clothing, crucial supplies, and the Word of God to people in the most remote regions of the world. Because of you, Creflo Dollar Ministries is providing a new understanding of grace and empowering change in the lives of millions of people every day. Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into millions of homes all across the globe.